Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. How are you? It has just gone five this Tuesday night, and this is Update, a rundown of what's been happening news-wise on the island. Coming up before 5.30, what is going to happen with the family library? We'll bring you the details after it was debated in Tynwald this afternoon. The current level of bureaucracy in government is a nightmare. That's according to a former chief minister. And a more even playing field for the women's game is being promised this year when it comes to football. We'll have all of that, plus the weather, traffic and travel. And if you would like to get in touch, as ever, we really do welcome your thoughts. You can email the studio, studio@manxradio.com, text 166177. You can also find us on WhatsApp and messages for free on there as well. We'll start with a rundown of the main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
Fastamai. A Douglas woman charged with attempted murder has been further remanded. Jasmine Amber Elizabeth Cullivan of Heather Crescent appeared at Douglas Courthouse via LiveLink today. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture has spent £13,500 on a report and inspection of materials relating to broken tiles in the swimming pool at the National Sports Centre. The fault was first identified in November 2023, and a series of tests and analyses have been going on since then, resulting in part of the lanes remaining closed. A former chief minister says the level of bureaucracy in the island is causing a major problem, not just for ordinary people, but also for government. Tony Brown was speaking before Tynwald's Constitutional and Legal Affairs and Justice Committee.
It's a nightmare. The bureaucracy that's been introduced, certainly from my perception in the last 5 to 10 years, is just out of this. It's just out of control.
And it's business as usual for a popular restaurant and wine merchant in Douglas, which is categorically not closing down. Wine Down has been operating on Duke Street since 2018, but has been placed up for sale by the current owners. Further afield, Baroness Casey, the woman behind a grooming gang's review, has called for calm on the subject of ethnicity. Her report revealed data on it is unreliable, but that there's an overrepresentation of suspects and offenders from Asian backgrounds. Campaigner Lucia Ray, though, says she doesn't want the next steps, including a nationwide inquiry, to be about politics anymore.
We're in the here and now, and when you speak to survivors, they want to move forward. We can't keep regressing over who's not done what, pointing the fingers, and this has got to stop being used as a stick to beat each other over the head with.
Iran's ambassador to the UK has clashed with MPs as he answers questions about the fighting with Israel, which is now in its fifth day. And TikTok is once again getting a last-minute reprieve before it goes dark in the US on Thursday. Donald Trump says he'll extend the deadline for Chinese owners ByteDance to sell the social media app. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. A lovely evening, actually. Sunny spells, dry, largely clear. Light winds and minimum temperatures tonight will be around 10, and tomorrow will be a dry day, patchy cloud allowing some hazy sunshine at times, and the top temperatures will be around 17. And then Thursday and Friday, fine and dry and increasingly warm. Wow, it sounds almost like summer, doesn't it? Sunset this evening, 9:54. Sunrise tomorrow morning, just before 4:45.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Pagode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Pagode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just coming up to 5:05. Well, this afternoon, Tynwald has been debating on what steps it can or should take in response to the family library's pending closure. Christian Jones was in the chamber for us and has this report.
The charity, which is known for its community and mobile service, has confirmed it will cease operations despite already receiving government support, including a subsidised building, fuel for its mobile library, and grants from Treasury totalling nearly £750,000. But its directors say the financial climate has made the library unsustainable.
So we're not saying we've run out of money now. We're not saying that we're in debt or have a crisis problem. But with all responsibility, we have to look at whether something's sustainable. We don't want to get to any point in the future where we can't pay our staff or can't pay the bills.
Douglas to East MHK Joni Farragher tabled a motion calling for government to intervene and set out urgent steps to prevent the closure.
This is in many ways a love letter to an institution that has quietly supported so many lives, including mine.
But others question the charity's governance and financial transparency. Onken MHK Julie Edge criticised the director's lack of openness, saying they've held the community hostage and brought the issue to government too late.
To throw the towel in and say, that's it, we're packing in, knowing that they can do that, but actually, who are they holding hostage? All our young people, all our elderly people that are isolated in our communities. It's not actually Tynwald, it's the people that they serve, and I think they've actually done an injustice to the charity to actually do it in the manner that they have.
Peel and Glenfaber MHK Kate Lord Brennan went further, describing the director's actions as politically strategic.
What happened in reality was that the directors announced, we're closing the library, contact your MHK, putting us absolutely all on the spot as if it was something that, A, it's got red flags all over it, and I also worry too about the precedent that's being set, because there's many, many other organisations that operate there on a charitable level.
A proposal by Treasury for further investigation passed, committing to urgent work with the charity and options to be brought to October's Tynwald. But with no extra funding promised and time running out, the library's future remains uncertain.
Christian Jones reporting on the family library, which was debated in Tynwald today. Incidentally, if you go to our website and look for the family library story there from this morning, there's a lovely report from Lewis talking to some of the service users, and they outline why they feel that this is something that does need to continue. 7.5 minutes past five. Well, the Enterprise Minister says a thorough debrief of this year's TT will take place after what he acknowledges has been a challenging year for the event. Tim Johnston was questioned on the matter this afternoon following a TT 2025 that saw frequent disruption due to weather and also resulted in the coveted senior race being cancelled for the only second time in the race's history.
I think it's always important that you take each event and make those assessments. I think as far as the schedule is concerned, that current schedule has been developed through consultation with the race organiser, competitors, teams, marshals and medics. So, you know, and it is important that there is stability in the schedule so that all parties know what is planned well in advance. And if there was to be any changes, that would be a really cross agency discussion to assess whether that was necessary. Clearly this has been, as you say, it has been a challenging TT, again with the weather, but let's not forget also there's some amazing racing, and 9 of the 10 races were delivered.
The 9 races that went ahead, there was only one that was at full race distance this year, and also we lost the senior TTs. How can that schedule be tweaked to give more certainty to the senior TT?
What I would say, as I said earlier, is since that it is important that these discussions are had, and they will be had now with all the stakeholders that I've mentioned. It's a little bit early yet to get feedback. As I say, the event is finished, but certainly the initial responses will be coming back by the end of this month into early July, and ongoing throughout the year in other areas. So, you know, I think it's important that we remember that this event is very much about cross-collaboration.
Momentary, Mr. Skinnish.
The Minister consider consultation with the Manx residents as part of the debrief regarding the schedule with the senior race now being on the Saturday, just to understand the effect and impact on local people.
I would make the point that there has been previous public consultation before the schedule was changed. I think the important point is here, this is not the DfE setting this out. This is consultation that's made across the organisers, competitors, the teams, the marshals and the medics. It's always going to be a divisive issue, I think, the schedule. I accept that. But I think we have to listen to the professionals involved in this who have consulted, and that's how we've built this plan. And the data we get so far, the feedback we get, I think are very positive.
That's the Enterprise Minister Tim Johnston speaking in Tynwald today. Apologies for that audio. It was a little bit glitchy. It's sometimes really difficult to get it from the chamber, but there was a lot going on there, wasn't there? But the essential message was that he does think there are positive things that have come out of this TT, despite it being really difficult because of the weather. It's coming up to 5:10 and a man who travelled to the Isle of Man by ferry with more than £49,000 worth of cocaine in a bag under the driver's seat of his car has been jailed for 9 years. Scott Golden, who had a bicycle in the boot of the car, told port authorities he was visiting the island to go cycling with a friend called John, but could give no other details about the man. Sean Cowper reports.
BBC Isle of Man reports a search of his vehicle found the cocaine along with a large quantity of ketamine in a plastic bag partially concealed under the mat in the footwell. The court heard Golden had arrived in Douglas on the ferry from Heysham on the 13th of February at about 5:30 p.m. He tested positive in a drug wipe test for cocaine, and after officers noticed a small snap bag with traces of white powder in it sticking out of an empty cigarette packet on the passenger seat, he was arrested. A search of the car uncovered the ketamine, which had a street value of between £39,540 and £49,425, as well as cocaine under the seat. The court was told messages on his phone showed he'd previously travelled to the island on the 1st and 16th of October and the 21st of December to collect cash to take back to the UK, including a sum of £11,500. When questioned, he admitted he'd first come into contact with an organised crime group in October last year and had been making the trips to collect sums of money for £500 a journey. He said he'd then agreed to accept £5,000 to transport the drugs to the island as his business polishing car wheels was in trouble. He pleaded guilty to the importation of cocaine, the importation of ketamine, possession of both drugs with intent to supply, and possession of cocaine. He also admitted 2 counts of driving under the influence of drugs and 3 counts of money laundering. Sentencing him, Deemster Graham Cook said his claim to have travelled to the island to meet a friend was just an out-and-out lie. He said the posters on display at the port in Heysham provided a clear warning of the penalties those importing drugs to the island would face. Golden was also banned from driving for 5 years and will have to take an advanced test before regaining his licence, as well as being banned from returning to the island for 5 years after his release.
Sean Cowper reporting. 5:12. Onchan commissioners are now working with the Isle of Man Prison and Probation Service to allow people doing community service to complete their unpaid work in the village. Now, lead member for Environmental Services David Quirk says the scheme is supported by officers and individuals and will be supervised by both authorities. He's been talking to Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
Well, what it is, the officers themselves had discussions with their probation service, and part of the probation service is individuals who are not real hard criminals. We're talking about people who've been silly, probably been got fines and stuff like that, misdemeanors and so forth. There's an opportunity for them to discharge the hours they've got on a community service, and the benefit it will be to the community of Onchan, and it will be supervised both by the probation service and our officers in Onchan as well. Members of staff have been aware of it. As far as I know, there's no unhappiness about that. They're not taking over their jobs, which is a prime thing. Our staff are employed full-time, but there's an extra bonus as far as we're concerned as a local authority where we can get additional work done. As the summer's quite short, and you've seen around the village and the Isle of Man itself, we got weeds and we got all sorts of things, little things that need to be done, but will make that difference.
And how do you think this will affect the community? Do you think it'll be positive, or do you think there might be some negative connotations there?
I don't think there'll be any negativity. When I've been involved in Onchan Pensioners Social Club and also the football club, we've used the facilities ourselves over a few years. And regarding the Pensioners Club, just to give people comfort as well, they actually painted our building a couple of years ago and it needs a coat at the minute, so I might be an opportunity to do another coat.
That's lead member for Environmental Services at Onchan Commissioners, David Quirk.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, nothing to report on the police pages, just the usual roadworks out and about. Down at the airport, just a slight delay on the Liverpool flight. It's delayed by 30 minutes or so. And then at Steampacket, all looking good. The Manxman due back into Douglas around 6, heading out again to Heysham at 7:45. And the Mananan is due into Liverpool at 5:30 and will be heading back here at 7:15.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
It's coming up to 5:15. So on the programme yesterday, we heard from former Chief Minister Howard Quayle. We've got another former Chief Minister today who's described the current level of bureaucracy in government as a nightmare. Tony Brown was appearing alongside Howard Quayle before the Constitutional and Legal Affairs and Justice Committee, and the subject was ministerial government and its effectiveness. Mr Brown said some red tape was necessary, but not, he believes, the current amount.
The bureaucracy that's been introduced in the is just out of this. It's just out of control. I'll just give you a good example. A woman came up to me the other week and said to me, I'm applying for a bus pass. Now, don't forget, a bus pass is only in the Isle of Man. She's over 65. They know she's over 65 because she's getting a pension. She's got the form. They want a passport photograph, or they want a driving licence, or X, Y and Z. She says, I don't have a passport. I don't have a driving licence, I don't have this, what do I do? I said, go to the office and tell them you don't have any of that, take a photograph of you and say, this is me. It's nonsense. It's a bus pass. And yet it's so bureaucratic. And that's just one little issue. It's magnified right across government and, to me, is damaging government. It's slowing it down so much that everybody's scared of their own shadow. Things are not being done in a timely manner because the bureaucracy is controlling everybody to the nth degree. Don't get me wrong, you need bureaucracy to some degree, but not, I don't believe, to the degree we have. And over-regulation. Over-regulation's driving everybody mad. And we just seem to be more in, let's get regulations in, let's get bureaucracy in. How about let's earn some money to make the Isle of Man successful? And I do think we've swung too far. It's too much about what we can't do as against what we can do.
That's the former Chief Minister Tony Brown talking to the Constitutional and Legal Affairs and Justice Committee yesterday. That subject, ministerial government, not mincing his words there. Neither did Howard Quayle, the other former Chief Minister who the committee heard from yesterday. As ever, you can find out more about both those stories at manxradio.com. Coming up to 5:17, and it's business as usual for a popular restaurant and wine merchant in Douglas. Wine Down has been operating on Duke Street since 2018, but has been placed up for sale by the current owners. And this sale will include the current or amended lease, along with all the fixtures and fittings. But not to worry, wine fans, co-owner Anne Harrison told Howard Kane that Wine Down is categorically, most definitely not closing down.
The reason for the sale now is purely to get a better work-life balance. When we started Wine Down, it was a combination of a passion of Roy's passion for food, my passion for wine, and wanting to share that passion with the residents of the Isle of Man by serving fine dining, quality food, but in a relaxed environment surrounded by bottles of wine from all around the world. I don't think either of us expected it to be quite as popular as it has been. And we love what we do. We've loved the whole journey and we still love what we do. But I've had a significant birthday last year and now want to live a little bit.
We won't say what that birthday was, but I think it's well known that working in the service industry and industry like this, the hours can be very long.
The hours are long and we do it because we want to do it, because we want to give the best possible service and the best possible food. So we both work very hard at it. And now it is a successful business and it's a chance for somebody else to come and take it over. Either keep it as it is or do something different with it.
So in the meantime, I suppose it's impossible to say what the timescale will be, because it will depend on obviously whether you get a buyer coming along who you're interested in. But in the meantime, Wine Down continues trading as is.
Wine Down continues exactly as it is. We're still trading as normal. We've still got events coming up. We've got a summer tasting on Thursday. Everything is completely as normal until such time that somebody comes along and it changes hands. But for the foreseeable future, Wine Down is business as usual.
That is co-owner of Wine Down, Anne Harrison, talking to Howard there. So when this story was first reported in the press, there was a lot of speculation about the fact that it was closing down, which is why we have clarified that point with Anne. It's coming up to 5:20. Are expectations too low with people with learning disabilities on the Isle of Man? Well, it's a question being posed by Manx MenCap as it marks Learning Disability Awareness Week, which kicked off yesterday. And this year's theme is Do You See Me? And it focuses on visibility and inclusion. Fran Tinkler from the charity explains what a learning disability actually means.
The terminology seems to create a great deal of difficulty across the board.
But the actual terminology for a learning disability is a reduced intellectual capacity. So it differs greatly from the likes of autism, from dyslexia, dyspraxia, and many of the other difficulties that are seen out there. They're termed as a difficulty. A learning difficulty arises because of how society puts pressure on people to develop. So the likes of dyslexia, they learn in a different way, but their learning is still as valuable and they can access information differently, but their progression intellectually will follow the same. If they have the right support and the right interventions put in place, their intellect will develop and their cognitive capacity will develop. Whereas an intellectual disability is different. We will need support across the board for nearly everything that we do. We need support to function. We'll need support for everyday living. The theme for Learning Disability Week this year is going to be Do You See Me? Because many of our members, we don't see them. You know, they mix with their peer groups, they do things together, and they're not out in our society because we haven't made society available for them. So we have very few on island who are in employment. We have very few who can access mainstream social gatherings, and we're not as inclusive as we should be. We're getting better all the time, but we need more inclusivity. We need more people with an intellectual disability out there, many of them who can do great work in many, many areas, but who can't get employment. So that's really difficult for us, because unless we're starting to include them in everyday things, unless we're giving them employment, unless we're including them across the board, we're never going to see them. And that whole vibrant, busy community will stay unseen and unvalued. And that's really sad.
That is Fran Tinkler from the charity Manx MenCap with some really thought-provoking comments there, I think. Much more again about that on the Manx Radio website. And this week is Learning Disability Awareness Week. 22 minutes just about past five. Yeah, it's five. The Isle of Man FA says it's working to create a more even playing field for this year's Women's Summer League. But as clubs enter the tournament through businesses, FA Women's Development Officer Jamie Lee Ferns says they're looking at ways to encourage more newcomers to take part.
One of the things that I've tried to kind of bring up to the existing teams and the existing managers that are in the Summer League is trying to spread the talent about as well. So, you know, we do have existing teams that will go into the Summer League, but we don't want that to be a deterrent to new players to the game. So one of the things that we are encouraging is that the teams themselves, even if it means entering one or two teams, have a mixture of their existing players and newcomers to the game. So that way their own players on their team will have fun. It's slightly less competitive for new players, and also for the new players that are playing against those established teams, they are not feeling like they're going up against Peel or Corinthians or a fully established team. They also feel like they've got a chance at winning that Summer League by having that mixture of players existing and new on the teams.
Has that been something that you've gotten as feedback from players coming in, that there's maybe a level of discouragement knowing that they're going to be playing up against a fully fledged Peel or Corinthian side?
Yeah, there has been talk of teams finding it discouraging, definitely when they've gone into that Summer League. So we have just really tried to support those players and those teams in the sense that we are trying to change things over time. It was always trying to encourage those existing stronger teams to treat the Summer League as pre-season training, pre-season friendlies, not to take it too seriously, because a lot of the players enjoy football because of the competitive nature, but just kind of the main thing is to have fun. And if having fun for others is not feeling like they're going to get thrashed even before they've gone into a game, if that's going to get more women into the game, then we should be encouraging that.
That is Jamie Lee Fern. She's the FA Women's Development Officer. I really can't speak. Sorry, Rob. She was talking to Darren Timpson there about working to create a more even playing field for this year's Women's Summer League. I think we've got there just about. Let's stay with sport then, Rob.
First am I. Well, first off, the qualifying and race schedule for this year's Southern 100 Road Races has been announced. The 2025 edition of the Balown Course meeting is due to take place from Monday the 7th of July for 4 days up to Thursday the 10th of July. Well, the first 3 days, the Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, 7th through to the 9th of July, will involve evening sessions with roads around the course closed between 6 p.m. and no later than 9:40 p.m. Meanwhile, the final day of action on Thursday the 10th of July will involve two sets of road closures around the course. First, between 9 a.m. and no later than 12:45 p.m. and then again from 1:30 p.m. until no later than 4:45. It's also a landmark year for the event, which is celebrating its 70th anniversary, having first started in 1955. Well, you can see full details on timings and the schedule in full at manxradio.com, and remember, all timings and sessions remain subject to change depending on prevailing conditions and circumstances. In tennis, former Isle of Man pro tennis player Billy Harris is getting his campaign at the 2025 HSBC Championships at the Queen's Club underway this evening. The former Castletown and Albany player, who's received a wildcard entry for the event, will face Canadian Gabriel Diallo later this evening. Whoever wins today's tie will face Yuri Lehechka in the round of 16. Well, Harris, who currently sits 104th in the ATP World Rankings, reached the third round of the competition 12 months ago. In football, St George's AFC is looking to appoint a new first-team manager. The Douglas Bay side, one of the most decorated in Manx football history, is inviting applications for the role ahead of preparations beginning for the 25-26 season. While the 20-time league champions will play in Ardern and Drugon Limited Division 2 next season, having been relegated from the Canada Life Men's Premier League in the previous campaign. And finally, in motorsport, more than €5,000 has already been raised to help TT competitor Veronika Hankert-Sieva following an incident at this year's races. The rider from Czechia was involved in a crash at Douglas Road Corner in Kirkmichael during the Super Twin TT Race 1 on Tuesday the 3rd of June. Hankert-Sieva was then taken by AirMed to Nobles Hospital to be treated for reported head, chest and arm injuries. An online fundraiser has now been set up to help the competitor with her recovery, and donations have now topped €5,400 as of today.
And you know, it's great to see the support for the riders. And I think every rider who had an incident during TT has had a GoFundMe page set up. And it was also great to see her posting herself, because, I mean, it's a really scary thing to go through, but she was incredibly positive. And what was that suggestion she made, that she and Peter Hickman should maybe set up a team together?
And, you know, to have that positive mindset, of course, you know, things like this can happen in racing. No one wants it to. But the fact that, yeah, it seems that Veronika Hankert-Sieva has such a positive attitude going into her recovery. And however long it takes her, we wish her all the very best.
We certainly do. And again, you can find out more on our website about that. And there's a link to the Just Giving page as well. That is all from Update tonight. Coming up next, Countryside is back with Simon Clark and Kerry Kermode. And I believe, among other things, they're talking about things for your animals to eat that are probably a little bit healthier for them. Then Chris Kinley has Greatest Hits from 6 p.m. From 9, it's The Folk Show with John Barker. And then Dave Moore will be here with After Hours from 10 o'clock. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.